With us, and I'm going to take the Bibles, if you will, please, and go with me. I'm just going to share some things with you from my heart, which I'm always doing. That's not anything new, is it? Praise the Lord. But glory to God. I'm not interested in just teaching from my head. I came to teach from my heart and share with you things that God has placed there. And I'll be honest with you, quite frankly, lately there's a few sermons that I've preached, and I got home and I felt like, you know what, I decided to go preach that again, because I just don't feel like I don't feel like I got my point across or whatever. Just didn't quite say it as it needed to be said or driven home. And we're in such a challenge that we're in this day and hour, and I feel that challenge more and more, and it's a personal challenge to me, and I'm wanting God to do more and greater things in my life. And as God strengthens me and speaks to me, then out of that, of course, will come messages, I believe, to challenge the church. But there's a couple of messages. I preached one in 1 John about this business of our confidence, and that's just been coming to me because I see a lack of it in Christianity. I see so many folks that are struggling, that they need confirmation in their lives, and they need this sense that they have to be reaffirmed by someone else. I tell you, you need a confidence to stand alone. You are going to have an Elijah confidence in this last hour. So when you're facing all the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and you know there's some folks around there that believe, but they're hiding out in caves and dens and everywhere else, you're going to have some confidence to stand. And I don't know. I just like to go back, I think, and preach that again. And maybe if God wills, we will do that. There's a message I shared about resting. Come and rest. And I know the Lord spoke, but there was so much there. I just felt like some more ground needed to be covered. That you and I, we have got to have in this last hour a confidence, knowing who we are, where we come from, what we've got. Because there's so many arguments, so much information out there, you're not going to be able to sort through every ounce of it. You ain't going to have time to sort through every ounce of it, quite frankly. So much junk that's coming across the pike these days, and there's about 1,000,001 opinions on every subject. And I mean, everybody. It used to be the old farmer always had an opinion, but only 3 or 4 people heard it. But now the whole world knows about it, because he Facebooks it, Twitters it, tweets it, whatever you call it, and puts it out there or gets on the website. I mean, the whole world's got everybody's opinion, and folks all around the world can hear the old farmer's opinion wherever he's at. And I'm telling you that somewhere you and I just got to be able to dig in, know what we've got, stick on the course, and stay with it and preach it and love it and live it. And whoever comes, comes. And whoever don't, let God be the judge. Amen. So somewhere, I just encourage you to find that rest in Jesus Christ. But I'm gonna go back to a subject that I shared last Sunday, Hebrews chapter 12, please. I want to go back there again. And I want to deal with, because I feel like the last part of this, I kind of rushed through it, and I want to deal with it again. And then if the Lord permits and I have some more time, I want to deal with some other things relative to this subject of aggressive Christianity. A few verses of scriptures, Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read that and then we'll begin. Hebrews chapter 12, please, and verse 14. Most folks would call this the golden text of the holiness movement. I don't know if it is or not, but you sure do hear it a lot. The golden text of the holiness movement, and if it be, it's a good text. There's nothing wrong with that. If we live by it, it'll be a wonderful thing. Ephesians chapter 12, verse 14. Since y'all don't get too comfortable, we'll stay in one more time. Read the word of the Lord. Not let you. Hebrews 12 and 14. What did I say? Ephesians. Sorry. Lord, let that not be an indicator of how this afternoon's going to go. Get my thoughts together here. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Are we all in the same pew now? All right, we're all in the same church. Let's get in the same pew. Here we go. Amen. Follow peace with all men. And what? Without which no men or no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator, or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now would you say amen to God's word? Amen. You may be seated this afternoon. I want to share with you and this afternoon and probably some upcoming messages as well on aggressive Christianity. I preached about it, two sermons last Sunday on aggressive Christianity from this passage. I'm going to return to this passage and I want to do some teaching with it and preaching. But I want to share some principles yet in this passage and drive some points home and so that we understand this. I care that you and I apply this Bible. Now, we've got messages that come into this church, and sometimes you get preaching all the time, and if you're not careful, you take it for granted. That's just the way you take it for granted. But all the preaching, or sometimes we just take safety in the fact that we think we got good preaching. Well, praise God, we got good preaching, that'll save us. Good preaching is necessary, but good preaching is not going to save you unless you do something with it. Amen. If you go all week long, if the only time you think about what's preaching this pulpit is the time you were in that service listening to it, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get very little out of preaching. It's just not going to do very much in your life. You need to go home, think about it, discuss it with your family, talk about it. We get a lot more out of the preaching, and maybe a lot of the preaching could extend to further deeper areas if we would just take and work on the areas that we've got and apply it, the Word of the Lord, and I think we could even go further and further and further. But so many times, preach it, and 2 or 3 weeks later, we couldn't tell you what was said. We've not applied it. We've not changed. Our life is no different. Everything is the same as it's been, and we're still having the same problems going down the same angle, the same alleys, and we're having the same struggle. Somewhere, something's wrong. We're not applying the Word of God to our lives. And I'm here to challenge you today. The greatest amen you can give this preacher is, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put that into practice. I'm going to ask God for power and help so that when I am confronted with that situation, that this is what I'm going to live by. This is the principle on which I'm going to base my life. We need that kind of aggressive Christianity. I don't, maybe it's just me. Maybe I am wrong in what I am about to say. My opinion may not matter. But in my opinion and in my observation, it appears to me, I know it is true in certain arenas, but that sin has become more aggressive in our culture. Now, sin has always been there. It's been in this culture from the day of its inception. I can tell you right now, it's been around. Don't worry, sin has been there. And it's been prevalent. And it's, at times, it's reared its ugly head more than others. There have been national revival that has come in times in which the nation was just going downhill at breakneck speed, was plunging towards the abyss, that God gave a revival and stopped the downward trend and brought people back and brought folks from their degradation and the depths of sin and the bear and brought them back into the kingdom of God and turned whole communities and cities were turned around. I was talking to someone recently, mentioned they were from Rochester, New York, and I remember reading about a revival that Charles Finney preached, and in just a short time, 7 major churches were established in Rochester, New York because of revival. I mean, the city.